Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're going to finish John chapter 14. This week, we've been looking at that first key chapter of the Last Supper discourse of John the Apostle that I wanted to take up during our time as we move through Lent. It's a great way to enter more deeply into the Lord's idea, the Lord's revealing of the mystery of what he's all about, what his plan is, and how we're called to surrender ourselves more fully to that plan. And it's beautifully opened here in this Last Supper discourse, and there's much for us to learn. And again, as I said at the beginning of this week, Lent's all about becoming more deeply converted to Jesus and living more faithfully as disciples. And wow, what a time when the church needs it and the world needs it. I ended yesterday's program with the passage here in John 14, 27, where Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. And then let not your hearts be troubled, and neither let them be afraid." It's one of the themes that these two themes run through this section. The Lord wants to give you his peace. He wants you to be well-ordered. He wants you to know to not be shaken by the angst of the world that's around you. He wants you to be walking in a sense of calm resignation to the truth that you live in him and from him. He's made his home in you. You're in his hands. Nothing will happen to you that's outside ultimately the will of God, for good or for ill as you may perceive it. Nothing is outside his will. He will never let you go. He's with you always. Jesus is giving to you his kingdom. The promises that we've gone through here in chapter 14, the reality of what Jesus said would happen, that he's in the Father, the Father's in him, and he's about to draw us in through the Holy Spirit, the gift he's going to give to us. We will draw deeply into the life of the Holy Spirit, and our new destiny, our new journey, our new mission, our new life begins. It begins in baptism. We become a new creation. And what he's describing here in this chapter and throughout what we're going to look at over the next week or two is the kind of thing that will help us become more deeply converted. It's crucial. Conversion really requires us knowing God more intimately. And that's not something we can do on our own, but if we hunger and thirst and we open ourselves to God's word and we invite the Holy Spirit's help and we do our part and we receive what God's part is, he wants to show us, just like Jesus said in this section, the counsel I'm going to give to you, he will manifest to you basically what you need to know. He's going to reveal more of the Father, like Paul will say in Romans, the love of God has been poured into our hearts. And now this spirit that's been poured into our hearts, this love of God is bringing conviction, freedom, confidence, humility, grace, conviction. Again, that I'm a child of God and that God is my Father and I'm not alone in this world and I'm not an orphan and I'm not the one that's set out and everybody else is in. I am a child of God. And the greatest treasure I could ever possess, could ever have, has been given to me. God, this whole thing, this whole reality is about God's creation and man being made in God's image and likeness, fallen, needing salvation. And God has come to give us life. God has come to live with us, to dwell with us, to call us a family, to make us a family, a reality that will live in the red hot community of the love of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Friends, it's no big surprise in a fallen world, but just like in so many other periods of time, history in the last 200 years, the smartest and the most gifted, not necessarily all, but many of the smartest and the most gifted are making their way through the world, living as if God doesn't exist. Some are asserting with great boldness that God doesn't exist. Some are about creating a world that operates as if we're the only ones here and that everything ultimately is meaningless. We're just matter in motion. There's nothing There's no genuine consciousness. There's no metaphysical world. There's no invisible world. It's just the visible world. And mastering and dominating the visible world to protect ourselves, to secure ourselves, to continue the species and all the rest, that this is all about. And it's a dead end. It's empty. It's not going to fulfill anybody ultimately. And it's fundamentally a deception. It's a lie. And there's a lot of pride. There's a lot of human pride that's present in it. And you see the human pride that's expressed, essentially, who needs God? God's for weak people, as if even the smartest among us aren't weak. And under the dominion of death, I mean, they're fighting it tooth and nail every single day. And what's the latest solution about how to deal with it? Maybe we should become cyborgs. Maybe we should become half human, half machine, and we'll be able to extend our life a little bit longer. Or I'm having regular blood transfusions. You know, I'm 65, but I'm having healthy 23-year-old doing blood transfusions with their blood. Why? Because I can. Because I have the money, because I'm powerful. And guess what? It's going to make me healthier. I'm going to live longer than you. I'm the winner in the game. He who dies with the most toys wins. But guess what? If you add another 20, 30, 40, 50 years of your life, you're still going to die. You haven't really solved anything. So here's the battle and the struggle in a fallen world that literally, and Jesus will talk about it more and more as he goes through this section of the resistance of a fallen world. And he says that he thanks the Father because the apostles, he said, you took them out of the world. That is, they're no longer living under the dominion and the delusion of a life without God. They're not under the dominion of the world, the flesh, and the devil in the same way. They're not resisting the will of God. They're in the world, but they're not of it. They're not living under the demands of this world. And you can see that same drama being played out today. The new kings of the earth, the new powers in the world. And friends, there's only two kingdoms. Remember this. There's the kingdom of God and the kingdom of Satan. That's it. There's no third way. There's no because we're wiser, smarter, and have more technology, and we're the smartest people the planet has ever seen, we're stepping into a third reality. We no longer believe in either a God or devils, or darkness, or a fallen world. No, we know the third way. And we're the geniuses who are leading in this direction. And guess what they end up doing? They end up creating their own ideology, which becomes a kind of religion. And it has its own commandments, and its own worldview, and its own moral system. And they have their own saints, and they can identify the saints and the sinners, and they cancel the sinners. I mean, it's all here. And when human beings throw off God, humans, whether they acknowledge it or not, they insist on becoming God. We now define what's true. We define reality. We define the meaning of life. We determine the parameters of this whole thing. We define knowledge and its value. We declare what's good and what's evil. And guess what's happening? What you would think would happen as the kings of the earth are creating the new religious system, you might call it. And that's actually what some people are calling it. I mean, I don't know if you've had a chance to read any of the books by philosophical historian, cultural historian from Israel, Yuval Harari, who's written these big time best-selling books. And he's kind of a guru in a certain way for the giants of Silicon Valley. And his analysis is that, you know, obviously it's a post-Christian world. We don't believe the Christian story anymore, the Jewish-Christian story. We know that there's not a God anymore. We're just machines in motion. And now, because the tech people are at the front end of all the technological development, now they've got the responsibility to articulate the new story, to create a story in which people can find meaning. And he says very clearly, he said, religion as we knew it doesn't help us anymore because we've made choices about different lifestyles, about who we're going to be. We know we've answered all the big questions. So we're going to have to create not so much a religion as a spirituality. And spirituality will help people find meaning in a meaningless world. But the craziness is if Mark Zuckerberg and Sergey Brin and Larry Page and Tim Cook, if these guys like make up what? Are they going to make up a religion? They're going to make up a spirituality? They're going to make up something that goes along with the world they want to shape. That's what it is. And so that's what's going on. And so you can see very clearly the certain values of the Silicon Valley that have emerged, the new Ten Commandments, as it were, the new commandments or the new morality that everybody will be required to live by, because this is what good people do. Google's famous saying, you know, don't be evil. They're just saying that's what they're about, is changing the world and helping people to not be evil, to be good. Okay, well, you know what that means? That means they define good and they define evil. Now they're God. And anybody who falls on the wrong side of that definition gets canceled. And for example, now, so if you stand strong against, you know, all the abortion rights that's being celebrated, like it was celebrated in New York a year ago, and the governor and everybody dancing in the streets and lighting up the towers in New York saying, yay, we get to kill babies up to the first breath. We're free. We're liberated. We're in charge of our bodies. We're celebrating. If you disagree with that and you think it's really wrong, you set yourself against the kings of the earth and their new moral system. If you don't accept everything that's said about the redefinition of marriage, the meaning of human sexuality, all the stuff that's emerging around that, and the text producing genetic engineering of children, the one thing after next that's coming, and they're saying we need new morality because these things now, the world has never seen stuff like this, and so we're the ones who are making this stuff, so we have to make up the ethics that goes along with it, and then we have to make up, you know, what's good or what's bad. So they're now calling evil good and good evil, just like Jeremiah the prophet said. This is what happens when human hearts break from God and pretend there's a world that actually exists apart from God, the kingdom of light and kingdom of darkness. If you step out from under the grace of God's revelation, the Judeo-Christian revelation that's present about the truth of God and what Jesus has revealed, if you step outside that, whether you know it or not, whether you accept it or not, you put yourself under the dominion of darkness. And you're going to have to serve somebody. It's going to be the devil. It's going to be the Lord. You're going to have to serve somebody. Whether you're consciously doing it when you get up in the morning, if you reject God and you're creating a world, you set yourself against God. And so even these people who see themselves as being, you might say, saintly, that they're the ones who care the most and have the most compassion, and they don't want any more evil and mean people in the world. Mean people are those that talk about commandments and want to impose commandments and things like that. They're the nicest people in the world. Guess what they're doing? They end up forming commandments, as it were, that stand in direct opposition to the will of God and God's design and purpose. And so they call what is good evil and what is evil good. And they demand that you line up with it. The battle's happening right here, right now, friends, in this world. All that glitters is not gold. The revelation of Jesus Christ, he's the truth about the human race. He's the truth about God. He reveals its purpose and destiny, what it means to be human, the road to human happiness and eternal life. He diagnoses the human heart. He diagnoses the world that we live in, and he is the light, the way, and the truth. That's what we've heard from John here in chapter 14. And we need to lay hold of it. We need to accept it and the help, the counselor who he's giving to us, has given to us in the Holy Spirit to give us the light and the strength to walk in the footsteps of Jesus and be salt and light in a world that's walking in darkness. Have a wonderful weekend, brothers and sisters. God bless you.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Fear God and Give Him Glory. The scripture says the fear of God is a fountain of life. It's the beginning of wisdom. It's the source of delight and a much needed grace for our time. For a free copy of Fear God and Give Him Glory, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.